I am your host, and I am also your teacher on tonight. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that I want you to grab a hold of, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into our lesson on tonight. The scripture is coming from the 34th division of Psalm. That's Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all of it, but we're going to at least start at the top, and we're probably going to end at the very end. We may have to miss some of it in the middle. I also would like for you to bookmark and hold a place at 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. And once again, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And let's go into prayer before we get into the word on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for another day's journey. We thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you, Lord, that you met us at our needs right where we were on today. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your peace and your joy. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint my tongue to teach this word on tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring back to my remembrance everything that I went over and I read and studied. I pray, Father God, that healing and deliverance would take place because of this word. We just thank you because you are good and you are great and worthy to be praised. And Father God, I pray that every hearer would not just hear the word, but they would also be a doer of the word, because doing the word can change their whole lives. We thank you for each and every person that is listening on tonight. We pray, Father God, that you would anoint them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in your word. In the name of Jesus, I submit and surrender unto you, that you would get all the glory, that no flesh would glory in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said that we were going to start with the Psalms 34, the 34th division of Psalm. And I did ask you to make sure that you bookmark a spot, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. So I'm going to start out with these words, Psalm 34 and 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, I want to stop right there. This psalm is a psalm that was, according to theologians, written by David. And a lot of you know the story of David. David was a young man that was appointed by God, and he fought Goliath, and he had victories in his life, and he became the king. But there was a call of death put out on his life by Saul, and David went through a lot. He was also known as a man after the heart of God. So David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. The position that David was in, he was in a cave. Now, the story is quite good and intensive, and it comes out of Samuel, and you have got to make sure that you read 1 Samuel. You can start with maybe 1 Samuel chapter 19, but all of it is really good. But David ends up in a cave running from Saul, because Saul puts a hit out on David's life. And David goes to another place, and, you know, they recognize somebody in Saul's entourage, recognize David. So he flees to a cave to get away. And when David flees to this cave, his kinsmen hear about this, and they too go to the cave. So in 1 Samuel, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men." So his kinsmen, they hear about David fleeing and fleeing to this cave. And look at the group of men that came to that cave to be with David. It says again, "And everyone that was in distress," so a lot of men that were in distress, "and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them." So now in Psalm 34, here's David saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times." David is saying now, I know we in this cave. So tonight, I really want to talk to you and ask you a question. What you going to do in the cave? What you going to do in the cave? Now, David is in this cave, and these men are with him. And David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." In other words, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord. I know we're in this cave, and I know that I'm running out of fear and for my life, but I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. No, he didn't say, "I will bless the Lord when things are good," or he didn't say, "I will bless the Lord when I have plenty of money." He didn't say, "I will bless the Lord if my spouse is acting right." He didn't say, "I will bless the Lord if my job is good." He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." After all does mean all. You can't wait and bless the Lord when things are good. See, you have to bless the Lord even when things are tight. You have to bless the Lord even when your money is funny or your honey is funny. You have to bless the Lord when your children are acting up. You have to bless the Lord when you go in and you got the pink slip. You have to bless the Lord when they put the notice on the door that says foreclosure. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Did you hear what I said? I said, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." What is in your mouth? What are you saying about your situation? What are you murmuring about your marriage? What are you speaking about your finances? It says, "His praise." See, too often we put all of our stuff before him as if it was bigger than God. So we begin to praise our junk. We begin to praise our mess because that's what we talk about more than his praise being continually in my mouth. Let me just say that again. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And then it goes on to say, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." See, David begins by declaring his settled intention of praising the Lord. I'm going to say that again. He begins by declaring his settled intention. See, He intended, bless the Lord at all times and allow his praise to be continually in his mouth, no matter what he was going through. He got that in his head, in his mind, in his heart, that that was what he was going to do. And too often, we don't make that intention. We begin to look around in our cave and say, wait a minute, it's dark in this cave. It's smelly in this cave. I need more light in this cave. See, he probably could have said that, especially, you know, with the amount of men that were with him. Now, I don't know the dimensions of the cave, but I would imagine with that amount of people, about 400 men, it probably had to have been a little tight. So sometimes you may get into a tight position, but that doesn't mean that you can't bless the Lord at all times and allow his praise to be continually in your mouth. Does anyone on our panel tonight have anything they would like to say before I go on?
Yes, ma'am. I was just doing a study on this, on Saul and David. And I'm not sure if it was in this chapter, but when he was in the cave, blessing the Lord at all times and letting his praises continue to be in your mouth is not getting back at your enemy or not getting back at, you know, whatever or whoever.
Right.
In that same, I think it's in that same chapter or around that chapter, he could have took his enemy out. Saul came in the cave to relieve himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Saul came in there to relieve himself. So if you're going to bless the Lord at all times, you can't take matters into your own hands.
Right.
Because David didn't. He cut a piece of his garment off and showed it to him later on and let him know, I could have taken you out. So when we bless the Lord at all times, we're not trying to get nobody back. We're not trying to manipulate nobody to believe whatever. We're blessing the Lord at all times.
Right.
And let his praises continually be in our mouths.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And I like it, too, because he said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Too often, that's why I said words are so powerful. What we speak is very powerful. What we speak changes the atmosphere. See, the enemy too often has us fooled thinking if we say it out loud, then, you know, it's not going to happen. But that's just the thing. We should speak it out loud to let the enemy know that we know that God is able to do it. Even though it looks one way, it may feel another way, but we have got to know that God is able to do it. And that's why I was talking about that intention. David had that settled intention of praising God for deliverance. He had that settled intention, and we need to get that settled intention. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I mean, we all need to stand in a place of being humble. And those men around him, they were hearing and listening to David. They heard him pen this division of Psalm, and he could have been singing it. He could have been saying it out loud, and they heard him say it, and they were watching David. You know, sometimes when I thought about this scripture, I thought about the head of household, people who are the head of the household, whether it's a husband or whether you're a single woman, and you're the head of the household. The people in the household are looking to you to see how you're going to react, to see what you're going to do. And this made me think because, you know, David was a king. So he had all these men who were in debt, you know, disgruntled men with him. They probably were looking at him to see what he was going to do. And it's the same thing with our households. And right now I love it because, you know, our pastor is talking about making sure that you sow into your family, and especially being the head of your household, because your family is looking at what you're doing. So if you're not blessing the Lord at all times, if his praise is not continually in your mouth, what do you think is going to happen with your family? How do you think your family's going to act? Because, see, they're looking at you to see what you're doing. And you can't just be talking some stuff and not walking it out, especially at home. Because, you know, at home is where your true self really is. You know, you get home, you get out your clothes, you get out your shoes, you take the day off. People in your family get to really see what you're going to do, how you're going to react. They know work has been a little slow, so they're going to wonder, are you going to complain that work has been slow, you really don't have the money, or are you going to be giving God glory for being a provider? They're going to look to you. What you going to do in your cave? What you going to do in your cave? It says in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." It's like David gave a call for a response from those men. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Now, we magnify a lot of things. We magnify the things that's going on around us. But I want to encourage you, just like David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Don't magnify your problems. Don't magnify your circumstances. Don't magnify your situations. Don't magnify how much money you got in the bank. Magnify the Lord with me. Magnify how big God is. Magnify that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Magnify that he is a healer. Magnify that he is a deliverer. Magnify that he's a way maker. Magnify that he's a promise keeper. Magnify the Lord. When you magnify something, you make it big. You know, I have to wear readers sometimes when I read, because the words are too small. So what the readers do is they magnify the words so that they can be clear, big enough for me to see, so that I can read them with clarification. I don't have to squint. I don't have to try to guess what it says. I can see, because when it's magnified, I can see even clearer. So when we magnify the Lord, we let others know how good God has been in our lives so that they can see what this hope is, so that they can see what this joy is, so that they can see how you were able to get the strength to make it through, because you're magnifying the Lord. You're letting people know, but God who gave me this strength, but God who made a way out of no way, but God who gave me this joy even in the midst of sorrow. But God, you are magnifying God. And David is giving a call to the men and saying, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's bless his name together, collectively, as a group. So David expands his praise to include all of those around him. He then challenges them to join in exalting and magnifying the Lord with him. See, these men, if you go back to 1 Samuel, remember 1 Samuel 22, these men were men that were in distress, men that was in debt, men that was discontented, had gathered themselves together. And here David is saying, I know you're going through all of that. I know that right now your life seems turned around. I know right now that you don't have the finances, but I want to extend an invitation. I want you to join in with me and let us magnify the Lord. Don't be ashamed to call others to praise the Lord with you, especially your families. That's your praise group right there, your family. Call your families together. Praise and give God glory together. Worship together, because that bond right there, that can deliver, that can bring healing in your family together. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Amen. I will say, this is a great passage, Psalms 34. But just going back to head of household or people around you, are you being in a position where people see you? When you turn all your strength to the Lord, when you want to please God, when you want to love God more and more and more, and you're persistent with it, and as each day goes by, you grow in that love of God, that who's ever around you can learn from you, and you'll treat others right. You'll treat them as God starts treating you. So we have to love others as we love ourselves. It's one of the commandments. But as we turn our attention, also turn our work of God toward people. And it's hard for any man to go any other way for his house to be peaceful or comfortable or to be, I guess, all right. Because every man I know wants his house to be peaceful, lovable,
right.
Things to be right.
Yeah.
But if that man doesn't have his attention on God, he's going about with his own might to make things happen. And it don't usually happen the way he wants it to. So that can be the confusion of how a man is out of line with God. Therefore, his house is out of line.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow one, so, you know, one direction we can that is sure is toward God. One thing we can do is give God all the praise for everything he allows us to even have in our lives to take care of our families. So, great lesson, great lesson. I wasn't supposed to say anything, and I'm going to be quiet from here on out.
No, Elder, you don't have to. Thank you. That's good, and that's true. That's true. That's really good. Does anyone else have anything to say before we go on to verse 4? In verse 4, here it is, David kind of showing what God did for him personally. In verse 4 it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So here it is, David is letting them know that he sought God and he heard him. It's giving his testimony to the man. You know, he was running, he was running to escape Saul, and then he ran across some people that knew Saul and knew basically that Saul had a hit on David's life, and God delivered him. And I mean, that was his fear, you know, but God heard him. He sought the Lord. And he heard me And I want to encourage you, if you seek the Lord, he will hear you. He will hear you. He says, and delivered me from all my fears. That's a great thing, to be delivered from your fears. Because a lot of times we carry around a lot of fears. We carry around doubt and worry and, you know, how are we going to make it? Especially in this day and time, that's one of, you know, people's biggest fear is how are they going to make it? Because things have changed in a lot of people's lives financially. But we've got to seek God, because God can meet every need. And it may not come in the form of money necessarily. It could come in the form of a bill being delayed, or a bill being not as much as we thought it was going to be. This is what happens when we trust God in that cave. God can do some great things on our behalf. And this is David saying, he sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then verse 5 says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And here it is, those men looked unto David, seeing that he was purposed to bless God, that he was like attributing his being delivered, even though he was in this cave, to God. I was thinking about when people look at us, you know, being, if you call yourself a Christian, I don't know about you, but I've seen some Christians who have looked very heavy in the face, tired, worried, doubtful, because they wasn't sure how they were going to make it. But as Christians, we should know that God has us. That God has us. That God knows every need that we need. We should know that God has us. Our trust is supposed to be in God. And he won't leave you or forsake you. He won't let you down. Now, our timing, God's timing is not our timing. It's not the same. We think we need it immediately, or we think we needed it yesterday. But God's timing is always right on time, always right on time. So verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I think they became radiant just seeing David blessing God. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. When we cry out, the Lord hears us. The Lord hears us and saved him out of all his troubles. God can bring us out. There's nothing too big. It doesn't say, and saved him out of some of his troubles, or many of his troubles, or a few of his troubles, but saved him out of all his troubles. See, I say it in the beginning from verse 1 where it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And I said, all is all. God can save us out of all of our troubles. But I tell you, there's something in blessing the Lord at all times. even in the midst of our troubles, even in the midst of everything that's going on around us. He can save us out of all of our troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I thought it was interesting that he used, oh, taste and see, you know, because when you think about tasting something, you usually think about food, and you think about the many flavors that may come across your palate. And when you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, you are allowing yourself to let God move in your life. It's like coming across that palate. You're allowing him to move in every area of your life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And when you put your faith and your trust in God, that alone is a blessing, to put your faith and your trust in God. When you can do that, I mean, you're able to sleep at night more peacefully. You're able to let go and give it to God because you can rest in him. You're able to give up trying to make things happen for yourself and allow God to work it out. Does anyone have anything they would like to say up to these scriptures that we just covered?
Just how many of us really, really trust him?
That's good. That's good.
No, I think you're doing a great job. I just want to chime in. And what Elder Bluewet and what Evangelist Bluewet has said is sort of what I wanted to say. But when they were in that cave and they had all those issues and they was watching David, he didn't do what he wanted to do. He was uplifting the Lord and he didn't focus on the situation. He was just uplifting the Lord, magnifying the Lord. And these men that was in the cave that was disgruntled and had all these issues, their attitude changed as David was always uplifting the Lord. It seemed like, I don't know, but their attitude changed because the description of them going in the cave, they were troubled men. But as David and this, and you're talking about the head of the household, regardless of what your household goes through, if you give uplift the Lord, you can shift the atmosphere to uplifting the Lord. So I'm enjoying this, and this is a good lesson so far. Amen. That's all I'm going to say, and I don't want to keep on talking.
That's okay. Amen. Amen. It's so very true, Elder. So very true. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, when you, to have fears is one thing, because when you have fears, the world fears, you have, there's darkness with that. But when you have fear of the Lord, that's when you reverence God. It's not darkness with this kind of fear. To have fear of God is to acknowledge that he is God, that he is holy, that he is righteous, that he is light. So when it says, oh, fear the Lord, that's what it's saying. It's not the worldly fear when you fear the Lord. It's not darkness with it. It's light with this kind of fear. There's a reverence of God. There's a respect for God, knowing that he is God. So it says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That is a deep, deep statement. There is no want. And I know we have that scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is no want to them that fear him, because God is going to meet every need. That's a deep statement. That's something you can take and study no matter what you're going through. Out of Psalms 34, that verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no lack. That's a deep statement, you guys. I don't know if somebody tonight that may be listening, you may be going through something. You may wonder how things are going to turn around. You may be wondering how the need is going to get met. You need to take this verse right here and meditate on it. And meditate on it. And ask God to open it up to you so that you will know that God is meeting every need. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This is saying that even a lion who is a cunning hunter, sometimes he doesn't even get the prize. Sometimes the lion, he doesn't get the deer or whatever he's going after for his food. And a lion takes his time and he prowls and he looks at the movement of the thing that he desires, but sometimes he even suffer hunger because he doesn't clamp down on it. But it says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. God is going to meet your need. God is going to meet your need. I just have to say that again. God is going to meet your need. You have to trust him. You have to know that he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He's going to supply everything that you need. It's like the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, his holy and righteous word. Amen. Does anyone have anything they would like to say before we go on?
Yeah, I would say that verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer mm-hmm. hunger. It's like also like young men, young women, young people,
yeah.
young
yeah.
Christians that are just starting out believing in God. We have to particularly take care of, and so they don't have to hunt things in this world that are not satisfactory to them, that is not good for them. Because, you know, when we were young, I know when I was young, I did many things. I went this direction, that direction, trying to find things that would satisfy my life or my situation or even my moment at the time. But that verse represents young people. The young lions do lack, mm-hmm. even though we know physical lions and young lions are very strong, but their maturity hasn't set in yet. As we do the latter part of that verse where it says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So, again, we put our attention towards God 100%. Even as best as we can on a daily basis, you know, what we may not lack anything. God is saying we won't lack anything that we need.
Amen.
We may lack the things that we desire, but but we will not lack the things that we need. So when the young lions do hunger, that's what they need to have. So we have to be, you know, careful as what we call ourselves mature Christians, children of God. We have to be careful and keep our mind and our attention toward God to not lack any good thing that God has in store for us. Great lesson.
Amen, Elder. Very, very well said. Very well said.
And I would like to also add, for me, in that script, in that verse, is seek. And if you seek the things of God, your desires will change. You wouldn't even want some of the desires you had before you start seeking them.
That's good.
Yeah, very true. Very true. What are you seeking after? That's good. And, you know, you can, that's a really good thing to examine where you are in your life by what you seek after. What is your heart's desires? That tells a lot about you, where you at. Because if you're not seeking God, what are you seeking? To try to fulfill that hunger. That's good, Evangelist. Very good. I want to go over, because I know our time is coming short, I wanted to kind of skip over to verses 19, 20, 21, and 22 of that same 34th division of Psalm. And I want to go over to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I just want to read that again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Here David testifies that if you're righteous, you're going to have afflictions, and not just some afflictions, but many afflictions. But we can rest assured that in those afflictions, you and I will see again and again that the Lord will deliver us from them all. Whatever we go through as sons and daughters of God, God can deliver us. There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he cannot deliver us from if we have a desire to be delivered. Because there may be some things in our life that we try to hold on to that we don't want to be delivered from. But if we have a desire to be delivered, God will deliver us out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. You know, your heart may have been broken several times from relationships, but God is the healer and the mender of our hearts. He keeps us like nobody else can. I don't know, there may be people that have been hurt, and you're thinking, I can't recover from this. Yes, you can. God commend your broken heart. But you're saying, you don't know what they did. You don't know how they treated me. Yes, but God knows, and I also know that God commend your broken heart. You just have to give it to him. He can mend it. You're thinking you've been carrying something around in your heart for a very long time, but God commend your broken heart. He can mend it. Is there anybody that would like to say anything about 19 and 20?
Yes, I would like to talk about Saul. I forgot my, what was it? Hold on. Let me read it one more time, because I was in the kitchen, but I wanted to say something. Read it one more time.
Which one? Verse
19.
Verse, okay. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
Verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
What are we doing as Christians when we are afflicted? Are we doing like Saul, trying to hunt down an innocent man?
Wow.
So Saul killed a priest in 22. In 1 Samuel 22, he killed a priest because the priest was telling the truth. Okay? So what are we doing when we're going through? Are we manipulating, lying, you know? What are we doing? Are we going to stand on God's word? Stand on God's word. What is his promises? He already told us we're going to go through some things, but if you already know the end, that we're going to have the victory, it's nothing for us to fight. If we just all just stay in our lane and just trust God. Trust God. We have the victory. We know the end of the story. Me and my kids were talking the other day. If I don't watch movies, sometimes they tell me the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If we already knew the end of the movie, we're not going to be excited in between about the person getting ready to get killed. Or this, you know, they're going to survive. You know, they're going to they're not going to die, but they're going to go through in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But God already told us what the end was going to be. We already know. So why don't we walk in our victory every day?
That's
we don't
right.
have to manipulate and lie and kill people with our tongues or whatever, or physically.
That's right.
We don't have to, because we already know we have the victory. Saul killed a priest in 22 because this man was telling the truth, and he helped this man. He asked Saul, what did this man do to you? He has to. Come on now.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's good. That's good. Because, Evangelist, you're right, though. And a lot of times, see, we treat God like people have treated us. So we don't trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, because people have let you down. So you feel like God is going to let you down. So instead of trusting God, and instead of, you know, allowing yourself to let him do it, you feel like you have to do it because that's how you've done with people. But like I said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God is not like man. God is sovereign. God is good. God is I am that I am. So that a lot of times that's how we treat God, like we treat people. Does anyone else on the panel have anything they would like to say?
Real quick. It's amazing because, you know, Samuel picked David to be the king. And then he tried to kill him on several occasions. And this is just me. A lot of times what David had what David had when he was magnifying the Lord and taking the situations, people were probably jealous of him because they didn't have that same anointing. And they want to try to kill you. And a lot of times people in the church sometimes will want to kill you because you're possessing the presence of God all the time. And for some strange reason, Sam wanted to kill David out of jealousy, out of envy,
out of whatever it was, but he wasn't connected to God because that's not a spirit of God. But David had the spirit of God, even in the cave, to uplift him. And the king still was trying to kill him, still wanted to come after him. And the thing about it is, he's the one that, well, I didn't say he didn't pick him, but he was at his house and saying that, you know, he's going to be, it's just amazing to me how this comes all the around in a circle. He was trying to kill his replacement. And David could have killed him, but he didn't. And he, yeah, he could have taken him out, but he, yeah, Saul, I'm sorry. Saul, he could have killed Saul, but he didn't. And Saul, to me, just had a jealous spirit. And because I've been in the church a long time, I'm not proud of it, but sometimes I've had a jealous spirit of someone else because they could move the crowd or they could do certain things, and I always wanted to hate on them. Because it wasn't me. And it's, it takes a lot to admit that, but also I see it plainly in the church, not at Praise Tabernacle, but I see it in other church, in people. Always want to knock this brother down. Always want to knock this brother down. And we serve the same master. We're going to the same place. But because of that jealous spirit that got into him, wanted him to act this way. And we see it in our brothers and sisters today. And I, for some reason, and I'm, you know, I have to admit it, I used to be like that. But the Lord has shown me and you know, that I've come a long way, but I can see it when I see it in people. And I don't know if you guys recognize it or not, when you see someone and they want to talk about someone because you're doing good and because you're following the word of God and because you're applying yourself, even though they don't know what's going on behind closed doors, you, the appearance of the presence of God is on you, and you know how to handle the situation. Because when David went in that cave, he began to magnify the Lord, and the men saw that. And that's why they could be encouraged as well. That's all I had to say. It was a great lesson. Thanks.
That's good, Elder. And Saul, yeah, Saul was the one seeking to kill David.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
You're right. And no. And like you said, jealousy. I mean, when David, when they had the parade, so to speak, and everybody was singing how David killed X amount of men and Saul only killed, you know, so many men. So, yeah, jealousy can be a huge thing. But the thing about it is, you know, and like you were saying, people don't know what you're going through for the anointing and the call that's on your life. You know, it's nothing to be envious or jealous about, because the anointing and the call in your life, what you have to, what you're going through, you know, or even to get to where the sacrifices that you're making, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and having prayer, or 3 o'clock in the morning, or whenever God wakes you up. If God wakes you up at 2 o'clock and tells you to get up and pray and to read his word, to study, and then, like you're saying, sometimes you see that, you know, as a result of what they're doing, and then you become envious of that, like you said, Elder, because the crowd is moving, or, you know, or people seem to be caught up in the emotion of what's going on. But we all, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter where you at, if you at the pulpit or if you at the back door and everybody in between that has accepted Christ as your Savior, you have a call on your life. And your ministry, it may not be in the four walls. Your ministry could be at your job. Your ministry could be at the grocery store. Your ministry could be at the park. See, the question is, are you going to answer the call, no matter how big or small it may seem to you? Is still a big thing to God, because he's placed it upon your life, and you are just as important. Even, you know, I think we have a nursing home that listens. Even if you're sitting in the nursing home, and if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a call on your life, a very important call on your life. And that call could be to share your testimony with somebody else in that nursing home so that they too can know Christ before they leave this earth. See, not many people may be able to get into the nursing home right now, but guess what? You're there. If you can talk, you got a call. You are there. Even if you're in prison and you know the Lord as your Savior, there is a call on your life. If you have repented for what you've done, unfortunately, the consequences of what you've done have you locked up. But ministry is still available to you to minister to somebody that they can change their life before they leave this earth. If you only minister to one person and that person comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is a crown waiting for you. So it's very important. Does anyone have anything they want to say?
No, no. Keep moving. Great job.
Go, say that again, Elder. Okay, so we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Now, the righteous experience much evil, or calamity or affliction, but they have God to deliver them. The wicked are different. They have evil or calamity or affliction, but what they don't have is God. And that's a dark place to be. That's a dark place to be. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous shall be desolate. See, as believers, we have God, but the evil, they don't. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Thank and praise God for this lesson on tonight. Before I get ready to close out, would anybody like to have any closing remarks?
You did a wonderful job.
Great job.
Learned a lot.
You guys are standing.
Thank
you. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say the same thing. You did a great job, great lesson, and I definitely learned a lot.
Amen. Thank you. To God be the glory. And I just want to remind everybody on tonight, God is with you. If you call on the name of Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you can have a great peace in your life. You things can turn around. Things could be totally different. You will begin to bless the Lord at all times. And I even want to remind those who are sons and daughters of the Most High God, when you're going through something, bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise be continually in your mouth. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Let his praise be continually in your mouth. I just thank and praise God for the lesson on tonight. I thank and praise God for each and every one of you on tonight. I just kind of want to do some reminders that we do have D&K Bible Break on Monday nights with Elder Derek Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio.
on Tuesday night, of course, is our Bible study at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Then on Thursday night, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry, 7 p.m. on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. Then we have our Sunday morning worship service, 9 a.m., live at the Tabernacle on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. We also have an email address for anyone that would like to send in a prayer request or a testimony. If you would like to send in a prayer request or a testimony, our email address is PTC, that's P for praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 4, F-O-R, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. Once again, that's P-T-C, F-O-R, C-H-R-I-S-T, @gmail.com. You can send us your prayer requests, send us your testimonies. We will be praying over your request and thanking God for your testimonies. And we just thank and praise God for each and every one of you. We pray that you would go back and study Psalm 34 and even go back into 1 Samuel so you can see more of David's story and his history with Saul and what led David to this division of Psalms 34 when he was in the cave. And let it be a reminder that whenever you're going through anything in this life, to open up your mouth with praise, because it can change the atmosphere. So we just thank God for tonight. And as we end, we'd like to say Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Be blessed, stay encouraged, and have an awesome rest of the week. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. from you. I didn't hear it. I don't want to hear it. You good? You good? Off the mirror. You left off the earth. But go ahead, let me let you get settled. Go ahead and try. I'm just worried about you.
Okay.
All
definitely in my prayers, man. And I'm